Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, but also a pastor and a father of five, broadcast from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Dave Buhner, also in studio with me, lives about 12 miles away on dirt roads. And we're just, I'd say, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, sitting here commenting on it, taking a look at the headlines this morning. A federal judge ordered the Food and Drug Administration on Monday to make the Plan B morning after birth control pill available without prescription to women as young as 17 years of age. Also, the House of Representatives passed a measure Wednesday that supporters are calling the most sweeping reform of nationally backed volunteer programs since AmeriCorps. But some opponents are strongly criticizing the legislation, calling it expensive indoctrination and forced advocacy. Others call it a federally based new Nazi youth corps. Well, we'll see what happens with that one. Almost one in five 10th graders in Washington questioned said they recently had five or more alcoholic drinks in a row, according to a state survey of youth behaviors released Tuesday. That's one in five 10th graders drunk. About one in 10 of 10th graders also said they tried to commit suicide in the past year. A national study by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy revealed that one in five teenage girls, or 22%, say they have electronically sent or posted nude images online of themselves. Britain now showing signs of heading towards 1930s-style depression, says Bank of England. The country is displaying early symptoms of being trapped in a so-called debt inflation trap, where families find themselves pushed further and further into the red every month. According to a bank report published today, total personal debt in England has risen 165% since 1997, now the highest personal debt level in the world. Also, the Obama administration's latest attempt to tackle the banking crisis and get loans flowing to families and businesses will create a new government entity, the Public-Private Investment Program. Call it the fascist, sort of socialist, communist control of all things program, to help purchase as much as $1 trillion in toxic assets on banks' books. The FDIC also just seized Colorado National Bank in Colorado Springs, and two other banks in Kansas and Georgia were also seized. The Federal Reserve just sharply stepped up its efforts to bolster the economy, announcing that it would pump an extra $1 trillion into the financial system by purchasing treasury bonds and mortgage securities. Since last September, the Fed's lending programs have roughly doubled the size of a balance sheet to about $1.8 trillion. From $900 billion, the actions announced on Wednesday are likely to expand that to well over $3 trillion over the next year. Are you keeping track of all the trillions of dollars of your money they're stealing through inflation, debt, and taxation, Dave? I'm having a hard time staying on top of all of this.
Well, I think the plan is if the numbers get big enough, you can't comprehend it, and then you won't worry about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the demise of the civilization that marks the Western world is accelerating quickly. Hey, the family is disappearing, the character of the nation falling apart at the seams. We're killing babies like it's going out of style, and 17-year-old girls can get the pill to destroy the life of those little ones in their womb anytime they want to. And now you've got the government pretty much redistributing all of the wealth now. I think all of this really leads us to the conclusion, Dave, that governments are never, ever, ever to be trusted. If you trust the government to take care of you, if you trust the government, inevitably they will wind up stealing your money and possibly even killing you and your family. That's what governments do, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they do. And right now, these guys are making the ruin of the nation even more spectacular by spending us even more into debt and enslaving us more and more to foreign governments like China. And of course, Dave, if we don't pay up on the debts that we owe China, my guess is they've got an approach they can take to collect some of that collateral on that debt.
When somebody doesn't give you something that's rightfully yours, you have to take it by force. Governments are given the ministry of the sword. People with swords sometimes do sword fighting. That's probably the direction we're heading. barring some repentance.
Ladies and gentlemen, just talking about the demise of this country, and we're going to be losing our peace, our freedom, our prosperity. It's happening right now, even as we speak. And it all starts because we refuse to trust in God and keep His commandments, and we decided we would trust in government. We would trust them with all of the power that they could possibly assume. And in the end, they are bringing all these problems upon this nation and making the ruin of the nation even more spectacular. Now, of course, Barack Obama was elected as the Messiah, as the man that would save us from all of our troubles. But because we trusted in him, because we said he was going to be the Messiah, because people had so much confidence in Barack Obama, I think Barack Obama is going to be the laughingstock of this nation in 3 to 4 years as things continue to unravel. Folks, less government and balance of powers is the only reasonable way to handle civil government. That's what we learned from our founders. And as we continue to empower government, they will be solving our problems for us by creating even more problems and then solving those problems in order to create total government in America. And, you know, it's interesting, Dave. They've got $4 to $6 trillion a year. I can't keep up with how much money we're using to fund our federal government and our state governments, et cetera, et cetera. I'd say 70-80% of the GNI now consumed in government spending, up from, what, 49-50% in the 1990s and 10% back in the 1910s and 1920s. I'd say government now consumes 70-80% of the GNI. $4 to $6, $8 trillion now flowing through governments on some level in America today, my friends. And yet, if you look at Genesis 9 and verse 6, God instituted government, which with its primary purpose being to punish the murderer. If man should shed blood, by man should his blood be shed, says Genesis 9, 6. God says the purpose of government is to put the murderer to death. Now, that's not happening much in America. In fact, I just heard that New Mexico canceled their capital punishment law for murder in that state. So, again, violating the fundamental purpose for civil government established by God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't need $4 to $6 trillion in order to run a civil government in America. We've got 50,000 murderers in any given year here in America. I'd say you could give me $5,000 and I'd take care of it. That would buy the bullets to put a bullet in the brain of 50,000 murderers in America. I'd do it for $5,000, Dave. That'll buy 50,000 bullets to put them in the brains of 50,000 murderers in any given year in America. My budget is $5,000. I don't need $4 to $6 trillion to do it. Of course, you do need $4 to $6 trillion if you're going to ruin this country, and that's precisely what Barack Obama is doing, while at the same time not fulfilling the one requirement that God has imposed upon civil government. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about this, I think there are a lot of people out there going, yeah, it would be nice if we could take over, if we could do these sorts of things. But there's a feeling of powerlessness among a lot of folks. There's really a lot, not a lot you can do to clean up the problems in this country. I mean, we're going down the tubes, and there's very little that any of us can do to stop it. People are really overwhelmed, Dave, I think, about what's happening. I read all these headlines. I mean, it's just everything's pretty much going to hell in the handbasket. And I don't think people really want to hear this anymore. I don't think they want to hear the news. I don't think they want to call their senators. They just want to throw up their hands and say, it's over. There's nothing I can do about it. And in just a moment, folks, I want to talk about that feeling of powerlessness that I think is really soaking into the populace today, especially if you stand for freedom, for prosperity, for the strength of the family, for the strength of the state, for the strength of this nation. If you believe in these sorts of things and you're seeing things unravel at the seams right now, just a sense of powerlessness is coming over lots and lots of folks across this country. And I'm going to address that in just a moment on Generations. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with me. This is Kevin Swanson.
Christian Home Educators of Colorado is pleased to sponsor the annual Homeschool Day at the Capitol on Friday, April 3rd. Join home educators from around the state as we focus on this year's theme, In God We Trust. Activities include a noon rally on the west steps of the Capitol, workshops for all ages, and the Future Statesman Track. Support homeschooling in Colorado. Doors open at 9 a.m. at the Pillar of Fire Church, 1340 Sherman Street in Denver. Register online at chec.org.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web for apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family. You need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson speaking biblically. If we were to reestablish a biblical form of government in America, we'd start with one basic civil law, which is capital punishment for murder, a la Genesis 9:6, or Romans chapter 13, verses 3 to 5. Purpose of government is to avenge God's law upon the evildoer, especially upon the one who commits murder. And folks, there are 50,000 murders in America. We need to put to death 50,000 murders in any given year. I do it for $5,000. And Dave, that's 1/1,000,000,000th of the cost of the $5 trillion now consumed by governments in America. I would take care of the most basic purpose designed by God for civil government for $5,000, Dave. You're a good deal.
You're a lousy businessman is what you are. That may buy the ammunition. Yeah. You have transportation costs. You got to get the bullet to the convict. Mm-hmm. You also have cleanup costs. Okay, you know, a bullet through the head is going to make a mess. Somebody's got to clean that up. So you have other costs. And then there's profit. I mean, what does it profit of the man to shoot the convict and make no profit?
Yeah, workman's worthy of his hire, I guess. But see, Dave, I'm willing to volunteer my time. You know, you talk about a volunteer corps, and that's what Barack Obama's decided to do, you know, create this Nazi youth deal going. But I would volunteer in order to fulfill the Romans 13 and Genesis 9:6 requirements for civil government. I would do it. I'd do it willingly. I'd volunteer my time. And for 1 year, I'd let somebody else take it up the second year.
I think you're just approaching this problem all wrong. We already have armed officials of the law carrying weapons with bullets in them in the local vicinity of the convicts. We don't need to hire you. We've already hired people.
Oh, good point. Good point. So why aren't they doing it? Oh, yeah. They don't fear God, and they don't want to keep his commandments anymore. So they're going to be given up to futility and spending $5 trillion and driving a nation into bankruptcy. Oh, that was what they were doing. Okay.
See, God says that the government, the civil magistrate, should be a terror to evil. In other words, those who commit murder. They should be terrorized at facing the civil magistrate. Instead, the civil magistrate is terrorizing the innocent by taxing us trillions of dollars to get rid of the evil. Something's backwards here, and I think I know what it is.
Yeah. Well, they ought to be start fearing God and keeping his commandments. Folks, I want to address the whole issue of powerlessness. As we read these stories and we find out the nation is heading towards bankruptcy and the government is accelerating this speed as fast as it possibly can, you know, a lot of people are out there going, man, we're losing our freedoms, we're losing our prosperity, we're probably going to lose our peace as well. We don't fear God anymore, we don't keep his commandments, our girls are running out after their day-after pills and killing their kids. We have 50 million abortions, 40% of kids born without fathers now. It's just out of control. This is just out of control. There's nothing I could ever do about this to fix these macro problems. Dave, I think the first thing I want to say, though, before we get into really how to address the feelings of powerlessness, is that these things have been coming for a long time. There were prophets talking about this stuff 50, 60, 80, 100 years ago. This Norman Mattoon Thomas was speaking in 1944. He said the American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. And, you know, he was saying that back in 1944. Now, he turns out he was a Presbyterian minister, was also a socialist who ran for president of the United States 6 times. But he knew exactly what he was talking about in 1944. He knew we would be a totally socialist nation. Back in the 1930s and 1940s, about 25 to 30% of the GNI was going to government. Now it's closer to 70, 80%. We're almost a totalitarian government in America. And yet this guy knew it was going to happen back in 1944. He knew Americans would receive these sorts of things. Let me give you one more quote from Archibald Alexander Hodge. A.A. Hodge wrote this in 1890 about education in America. He said, I'm as sure as I am in the fact of Christ's reign that a comprehensive and centralized system of national education separated from religion, as is now commonly proposed, will prove the most appalling enginery for the propagation of anti-Christian and atheistic belief, unbelief, and of antisocial nihilistic ethics, individual, social, and political, which the sin-rent world has ever seen. I mean, this is in 1890, and 120, 30 years later, we've got all of this, Dave. We've got the anti-Christian, atheistic, unbelief, antisocial, nihilistic ethics, individual, social, and political. And he says it's going to be the most severe the sin-rent world has ever seen. A. A. Hodge said that in 1890, and it turns out it was the education system that brought this upon this land. And Dave, these things happen over a long, long period of time. So we didn't come here. We didn't arrive at this point over the last 4, 8, 12 years. We have come to the unraveling of the social moral, political, economic fabric of this nation over a period of 120, 130 years.
Kevin, the path had been set a long time ago. In order for them to take our prosperity, they first had to take our posterity. They had to take our children away in order to take our wealth away. They are inextricably linked. Now, when you say socialism, let's define that word. Let's talk about it. What does it mean to be a socialist government? It's really a philosophy that says the civil magistrate can propose and implement solutions to social problems. So we look to the government as the answer to our problems. We have problems. No doubt we have problems because there's sin in the world. We're always going to have problems. The only problem is, if you look at it rationally, is that you think the problems are bad. The government solutions only make it worse. We had a problem with children not being able to read, so we created public schools. Now our children not only can't read, but now they're enslaved in debt for the next 100 years or something to pay off this debt we're paying. We had a problem with people not getting health care. Now we're going to make the system so nobody can get health care. You can just about count on it. We're actually going to probably end up killing off people, you know, for their health reasons.
Yeah.
This is the problem we have. We look to government as the solutions to our problems, and we feel powerless when government only makes it worse.
Right. Instead of looking to God. And again, ladies and gentlemen, who is your God? Who is your Savior? Who is your Messiah? If you don't look to God first and foremost and receive His law as the way by which you receive His favor, by the which God is going to return His favor to our land, then you're going to wind up with a society that unravels at the seams, and that's exactly what we're seeing happening in Europe, which at one time had somewhat of a Christian moorings, somewhat of a Christian foundation. And America at one time had a strong Christian foundation, but we have abandoned that foundation. We have apostatized from the faith. We've abandoned His principles of family life. We've adopted socialism, egalitarianism, existentialism, man-centered ways of looking at just about everything. And now we're turning into a socialist nation. Well, Dave, I think the answer to this whole powerlessness issue, when we see what's happening as things come down around us, I think the whole powerlessness idea comes from the fact that we want to be in control, we want to be sovereign, and it turns out we can't be sovereign. It's this idea that somehow if we just get control over the civil magistrate, we could clean up everything. But that is, again, back to the socialistic, pro-government, big government, totalitarian way of looking at things, that the government is the solution to our problems. Ultimately, what we need to do is we need to go back to our basic system of faith and thought. And that is confess that God is sovereign. I don't want to be sovereign. I don't need to be in control of all these things. And therefore, I don't need to feel powerless because God is ultimately powerful over all these things. God is totally sovereign. And if He's sovereign, then I'm supposed to obey Him and then trust in His sovereignty for the outcome. And that's precisely what George Washington said when he said, "We will raise a standard to which the wise and prudent will repair, but the event is in the hand of God." We'll trust God for the ultimate control of all these things, but in the meantime, we'll obey His commandments. He's going to make sure that what we do will remain if we do it for Him. And He'll make sure that all the machinations of the wicked, all these stupid plans and policies that are brought out by today's Congress and Senate and the President of the United States, all these stupid plans and purposes will come to an end and will come to nothing. But if we do something, if we get out there and start doing something for the cause of righteousness, God will make sure that will prevail and that will succeed in the end.
Kevin, this is the gospel message. The gospel message is that you are powerless. You are powerless over your own sin. You are powerless over your eternity apart from the power of God. But powerlessness doesn't need to lead to despair and hopelessness because we hope in the God who is all-powerful. When we come to the cross, we confess that we are powerless, that we confess that we are sinful, that we can't make ourselves right, we can't make society right. It is the Christ who came that we might be made and considered right in the eyes of God. The gospel is the very message. It starts out with, you are powerless, but there is one who is powerful for you.
Yeah, and we need to trust in that sovereign God who saves us from our sins, which is the root cause of all of the evil in the world. So that's the first problem. So let's go to him to deal with the root problem, which is our immorality, our sin, our lying, our yelling at our wives in anger, our unloving attitudes, our covetousness, our taking God's name in vain and refusing to worship him. We go to God for salvation from our sins, and as it turns out, God also saves us from the consequences of sin, including death, by the way, because we actually believe in the resurrection as well. Well, folks, again, back to this feeling of powerlessness. There are certain things that God does command us to do and to take care of, and that is to build a social society based upon his law order. And God lays out the way he wants us living our lives in his word. Turns out it's not the way Marx thinks we ought to live our lives. Turns out it's not the way that Gloria Steinem wants us to live our lives or John Paul Sartre. Why? Because they've already destroyed our land, so let's not look to them. Let's go back to God's Word. And God's Word has a lot to do about how to run life. Turns out not a lot of what God has to say deals with the civil magistrate, because God's not a socialist. Turns out God doesn't see that the social state, the civil state, is all that important. It's important, and there's a purpose for it. We touched on that earlier with the Genesis 9:6 and Romans 13 passage. But it turns out the civil government isn't nearly as important as building godly communities and building a godly family. Folks, the macro ship is sinking. I think it's inevitable. They're destroying the ship out there. That's what Barack Obama and the Congress are doing right now. That's what the godless humanists do all the time. They destroy the character of the nation in their public schools. They destroy absolutes and morality. And then they go out and destroy the economy and freedom and everything else. That's what they're doing. They're destroying the big ship. But I think God's giving us 10, 20, 30 years to build 10,000 lifeboats on the Titanic. Yeah, we're all on the Titanic. We know it. The system's going down. But we have a great opportunity right now to build 10,000 little lifeboats on this Titanic. And there are going to be some of us that will survive this thing, because for the next 10 to 20 to 30 years, we're going to be building these lifeboats. And we may not be able to salvage the big ship here, folks, but you can build a lifeboat for your family and for your church community. Not talking about abandoning politics altogether. No, no, no. You can go down there and plug some of the great gaping holes in the Titanic from time to time. We'll do that. And we'll elect some godly leaders. And by the way, electing godly leaders, far, far more fruitful than making phone calls to your senators and representatives that are so wishy-washy they're going to go to evil in a split second. No, you go and elect some godly leaders from time to time that'll stand up there and hopefully put a few, put some duct tape over the gaping holes in the Titanic and try to keep us going a little further. But in the meantime, let's build 10,000 lifeboats. Let's build those 10,000 lifeboats. Let's address ourselves to building godly families. I think, Dave, one of the first things you got to do here is to unplug yourself from the indoctrination system of the state. Just unplug the electrodes, you know, the electrodes from the television sets and the government school systems. Just get them out of your head. Just pull those electrodes out. Stop going to public schools. Please don't be indoctrinated with the whole way of thinking that is given you by the television set, by the major media, and by the public schools. That's the first thing to do. Then you go home and teach your children God's word as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. Use God's word. Use the Bible as your core curriculum. Teach them the fear of God. Teach them how to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And teach them to believe in Christ for salvation, not in Barack Obama. And then as dads, I think we ought to repent of our own sins, humbly confess our sins before our families, for our wives, and before our God, and just humbly confess our sins before him and start living right before God. Okay, this is how you build your lifeboat, guys. And then in your church, hopefully you've got a godly church where it's accountable and you're hearing God's word preached every week and you're loving each other and taking care of the orphan and widow. That's key. That's key, Dave, I think, to building these little boats. Let's stop tossing the widows out onto the state, the social security systems and the Medicare systems. Let's start taking care of the widows and orphans ourselves. This is the way we're going to be building our little boats. And folks, you know, these are just the simple things that you can do. And you can do these things. You may not be able to save a nation. You may not be able to stop Barack Obama for at least 4 years. Because he's already elected. You've already got a nation that's going hell-bent towards destruction. There's hardly anything we can do to stop this. But you can do some of these simple things. You can crack the Word of God and begin to disciple your children as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. And sometimes, you know what? You lift a stick and God parts the waters. Hey, that's the other thing. You lift a stick. You obey God. You just lift that stick. And you do what you can do, and God will part the waters. See, what we need are a few people like Moses who have the faith to do what God tells them to do. Go out there, do the simple things that God has commanded you to do in His Word. Teach your children God's Word as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. And you may not right now be able to do anything about the Federal Reserve System, about Barack Obama, about the Trilateral Commission, about whatever, United Nations. You can't control all of these powers. All you can do is lift a stick, but God can part the waters, and God can overcome the largest army of the largest empire on the face of the earth in the Red Sea anytime He wants to. So trust in God and walk in His ways. That's the message of my book, The Second Mayflower, where I talk about, well, building these 10,000 lifeboats. It's time to do what God has commanded us to do at a time where the empires are coming down. But I think there's hope for the future. I think there's hope for the future. I think God has something for us. And the first Mayflower is about to give birth to a second. It's happening all over this country right now in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of homes across America. Many of them are tuned into this program. I would encourage you to get a copy of my manifesto on this new movement called the Second Mayflower. You can grab my book, The Second Mayflower, at kevinswanson.com today. As well, you can pick up this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation. And we've got hope, folks, in God.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with some great messages that will encourage your family to live and love together the way God has laid out in His Word. Imagine a 5-day camp with some of the best nationally known speakers on the family. A 5-day camp priced from $155. That's $155 for the whole family. We have obtained the use of one of the largest campgrounds in the West for this camp. Scheduled August 21st through the 25th in Glorieta, New Mexico, your family will hear inspiring messages on relationships and loving the family from some of the familiar voices carried on the Generations Radio broadcast. And there will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, tennis, ping pong, paddle boats, and canoeing. We have priced this camp so it will be affordable to the largest families with the lowest income in a tough economy. To register or just check out a little more information on this camp, visit our website, renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock. Call 303-648-9606 for a brochure. You need to register now at these prices. We are filling up fast. That's camp at reformationchurch.com.